Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, precious saints. How are you doing today? I hope you are all doing well. As for me, busy today. Today's been a very, very busy day. We've been putting flyers in mailboxes, inviting young people to come to the youth meeting tomorrow night, which starts at 6 o'clock with an hour of games and then followed by an hour of youth service. So starts at 6, ends at 8. We've been stuffing mailboxes, and, of course, we have nursing home. And just busy, doing manna today in studio with you right now to talk about prayer, the prayer of the upright. So tomorrow is, again, another forecast to be another busy day. Still talking to youth on the street, wherever I find them, going to church to pray at 12 noon each and every weekday, meeting Pastor Harry tomorrow at 5:30. We're going to set up a table outside for people who need prayer and people who are just walking by, inviting, again, young people for the meeting, and then men's fellowship. We have men's fellowship, youth fellowship. So tomorrow's another busy day. And just came from a Bible study, Militant Moms. We're talking about Sarah and Hagar and Abraham and the mess that was created because of surrogacy. I tell you, we are busy for the Lord. And the Lord is with us, and the Lord is doing so. Continue to pray for Grace Church and all of its departments, the nursing home department and Sunday school department and evangelism department and men's department, youth department. You think of a department, pray for it, because we're all busy. We're all busy working for the Lord. Well, today is Thursday, July 27th, and we're talking about the prayer of the upright, the prayer of the upright. Proverbs 15, verse 8 reads like this: the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. God delights when you and I pray to him. Let's pray right now. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' wonderful name, believing and trusting that you always have time for your children. Your children are coming to you, O God. Your children are running into your arms. Your children are coming boldly into the throne of grace. Yes, we're coming. We're coming because we're going to meet Abba. We're going to meet our Father. We're going to meet our God, our Deliverer, our Savior, our Redeemer, who loved us before the foundations of the world. We can't even begin to comprehend what that means, that you loved us even before the foundations of the world. But now, Lord, as a result of salvation, we love you. You first loved us, and as a result of saving us and changing our hearts, now we love you. Bless us, God, as we spend time in your word today. Bless us, O Lord. Bless us as we draw near. Bless all those people who were at the nursing home today. All of those people, there were some people there that were really hurting bad. There was a woman there who told us that her brother had suicide yesterday, and she was heartbroken. She's a believer. She knows where she's going. And she has grave doubts about where her brother has gone when he departed this world. Lord, she is heartbroken. That child of yours, her heart is shattered in 1,000 pieces. And she cried, and we comforted her, and we prayed. Continue to be with her, Lord. Continue to comfort her, O God, we pray. Bless this study. Bless this study. O Lord, bless this study, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. There is a marked difference between sacrifices and prayer. If you come before the Lord, as they did in the Old Testament, if you came to the Lord back in Abraham's time or Isaac's time or Jacob or in the days of Moses or in the days of Joshua, it would cost you to go and worship before the Lord. Why? Because you had to bring a sacrifice. Whether that sacrifice was a bird, a fowl, like a turtle dove, or if that sacrifice was a lamb or a goat or an oxen or a cow. Whatever sacrifice you brought to the Lord, it would cost you something. You had to buy the animal, or you had your own land and you raised the animal, but in raising the animal, there are expenses. And so sacrifice, when you think of sacrifice, think of dollar amount. Now, the difference between sacrifice and prayer is that there is no dollar amount when it comes to prayer. Prayer is the most inexpensive way to worship and have fellowship with the Lord. Sacrifice, prayer, no price tag. It says here in the text that the prayer of the upright is God's delight. And I have to tell you, it's not that God rejects the sacrifice of the upright. He welcomes that too. But the contrast is between what the righteous or the upright do and what the wicked do. So here in this beautiful quote that I have here from the Expositor's Bible Commentary on Proverbs, I just want to read the first line. The first line. And it says, the spiritual condition of the worshiper will determine the acceptability of the worship, whether it be sacrifice or whether it be prayer. It makes no difference. Whether the act of worship will cost you something by means of a sacrificial animal, or whether the act of worship is just you simply opening your mouth and talking with God, your acceptability, the acceptability of your prayer or your sacrifice is determined condition of the worshiper. That's what it's determined by. So what is prayer? Let me define prayer for you. Prayer is, and this is my personal definition, as I read the Bible through and through, I have found that prayer is the heart's conversation with the Lord. I have a heart. You have a heart. The heart is the center of feelings, desires, emotions. And when I go before the Lord, my whole heart is in my conversation with the Lord. I am completely focused. When I approach God in prayer, nothing is to distract me. My entire being, my heart, my soul, my mind, my will, all of me, all of Michael, is engaged in talking to the Lord. Not just my lips, not just my hands. I'm not just walking around pacing back and forth with my hands lifted up to heaven, with my gaze focused up to heaven. My lips are not just moving. No. If my heart, if prayer does not have my whole heart, it's not prayer. Prayer is the heart's conversation with the Lord. When your whole heart is in prayer, that is a delight unto the Lord. Let me give you an example. Let's go to 1 Samuel. We know the troubles that Hannah was going through. Hannah was barren. Hannah could not conceive. And she wanted so badly. She had such a great desire to give her husband a child, but she could not. So she comes to the house of God, and she prays. So let's pick it up at 1 Samuel chapter 1, 1 Samuel 1, starting at verse 12. And Hannah continued praying before the Lord, and Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved. Now, you see that? That's true prayer. Prayer is when you speak from the heart. The text goes on to say, verse 13, Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, how long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. You see, when you talk, when you pray, you are pouring out your soul to the Lord. She's praying from the heart. That's what true prayer is. That's what biblical prayer is. And this is something that God will never reject. When you and I approach God, because prayer is simply a conversation, you're talking to God. When you pray, listen, when we're on Tuesday night prayer, when we're in our Tuesday night prayer meeting, and it's your turn to pray, you're not talking to Pastor. You're not talking to Sister Linda Hart. Listen, we're in the background hearing you have a heart conversation with the Lord. Those of us who are online, those of us who are hearing your prayer, You are not directing your prayers to me. You are directing your prayers to God. And if I can use this term, I'm just eavesdropping. And I'm not doing it because I snuck up on you and I want to hear what you're telling the Lord. I was invited to this prayer meeting. We've all been invited to this prayer meeting. So it's a sanctified eavesdropping. But we're hearing you talk to God from the heart. That's prayer. Whatever, you know, whatever's in your heart, whatever the Lord has led you to pray for, whatever God is directing you to pray, especially if you're like Hannah, if you have some personal issue. Hannah was praying for a personal issue. And when we pray concerning personal issues, we speak from the heart. Our heart's broken. We're going through something. We're struggling with something. We don't understand why a certain situation has befallen us. We don't understand the betrayal. We don't understand something that has recently happened to us. And we're talking to God and we're saying, why, Lord? And we're saying, not only why, Lord, we're not asking why, Lord, we're also saying, strengthen me, Lord. Pull me through, Lord. Because if you don't give me the strength, if you don't pull me through, I don't think I can make it. You see, you're speaking from the heart. So number one, when you speak from the heart, when you have a heart conversation with the Lord, your prayers, my prayers, our prayers are acceptable to God. He receives them because it's from the heart that you should pray. We should be praying like Hannah. She said to Eli, no, listen, let me tell you what's going on. I am speaking to the Lord from the heart. You think I'm drunk. I'm not drunk. I'm heartbroken. There's the difference. And I bring my broken heart and my struggles and my questions and my anxieties. I bring it all to God. I'm pouring out my soul before the Lord. So when we pray that way, our prayers are acceptable to God and our prayers are highly pleasing to God. And in the end, our prayers prevail. What does that mean, our prayers prevail? Well, Hannah prayed. She had a situation. She had a bad situation going on. She had a bad domestic situation going on. She was barren and she couldn't bear any children, and her husband got a second wife, and the second wife, who went by the name of Penina, she was having babies left and right, and Penina was taunting Hannah, and Hannah felt as though she was carrying the world on her shoulders, and she just couldn't provide Elkanah with a son. She felt less of a woman. She felt like an incomplete woman. She felt like a failure. So she took it to God in prayer. And her prayer prevailed with God. In other words, God said, okay, Hannah, I'll give you what you're asking for. And he gave her a son. She asked for a son. She was specific. Hannah says, I want a son. I want a son. And God says, a son I will grant you. Because our heartfelt conversations with God prevail. We prevail. We win. To prevail means to win. In the end, when you pray, you win. Why? Because God tips the balance of power on your side, and you come out on top. So let me take you to the Lord Jesus, our elder brother. And here in Matthew chapter 6, this is the portion of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 5, here is the Lord's teaching on the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, starting at verse 5.
And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites.
You see, Jesus immediately says, listen, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like the wicked. They approach God, but it's simply lip service. When they come before God, their lips are moving, their lips are flapping, but they're not speaking from the heart. Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like these people who just act before God. They're putting on an act. That's what the word hypocrite means in Greek. It means actor. This is a professional actor. They come before God acting, role-playing, if you will, but their heart is not in it.
For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward.
See, they're actors. They listen. They role play in front of God, and he rejects them. And they role play in public. They're acting. They look for places where they can be seen because they want to be acknowledged and recognized and applauded by men. But all of that, all of those theatrics, all of that is an abomination to God the Father.
But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly.
Now, the most secret place that you have is not the closet in your house to which Jesus refers to. That is a secret place. That's a secret place within your house. It's a private, your house is private. On the street, cannot see into your house because they don't have that kind of vision where they can see through walls. But even the closet provides you with more privacy, not just your home, but the closet is a room within a room. But that's not the most secret place. The most secret place is your heart. And that's the place from which you speak from, your heart. And that's what Jesus is emphasizing.
And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
See, now that's your heart talking to God the Father. In the privacy of your closet, in the privacy of your home, in your inner sanctum, you are talking to God from the heart. The Bible says that he delights, God delights when you go into your closet and you pray from the heart. God delights in your prayers. That is more valuable to God That brings more joy to God than 1,000 oxen that you would sacrifice and burn to him in a burnt offering. Your inexpensive prayers, because they don't cost you anything. Prayer's free. It's a collect call. Listen, you call, and God on the other side takes care of the charges. I used to love to call home, collect. As a young man, I used to get into trouble every now and then, and I didn't have any money on me. And this was back in the day when they had phones in the street. And I would dial the operator, and she said, yes, how can I help you? And I said, I'd like to make a collect call. And I would give her the number. And then she said, well, who did I tell them? Tell my father, his son Michael's on the other. Will he accept? And my father said, yeah, I'll accept the calls. I'll accept the call. And I would talk to my dad, and he would come and rescue me. Collect. Collect calls. Dad, I'm in trouble. Dad, something happened. Dad, I lost my wallet. Dad, this. Dad, that. Where are you? Okay. Give me a half hour to get there, depending on where I was. Give me some time to get there. Just stay put. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. I'll be there shortly. Prayer. Having a heartfelt conversation with your Heavenly Father. Collect call. No charges on you. It's free. So many times I called my dad. So many times. One time I remember him driving me, I was thanking him. I was saying, you know, I want to thank you, Dad, for all the stuff that you do. And I began to enumerate the things that he did for me. And when I finished my list, he says, don't forget those many collect calls. Oh, yes, Dad, I forgot those. He threw those in at the end because, you know, those collect calls add up. What a great dad I had. I was blessed to have a great, great dad. But I am so blessed, and you're so blessed, to have an even greater Heavenly Father who delights. He delights. He can't get enough of us calling on him and talking to him from the heart. He can't get enough of it. And we fail to pray. Think on that. Well, that'll do it for today. I love you all in Jesus' wonderful name. Don't forget to pray for all that we're doing, men's ministry, young people, Sunday school, church picnic coming up, baptisms that are coming up, all the different Bible studies that we have in different homes. I'm starting a new Bible study this week at Cindy and Tim Hart's house. It's going to be every Saturday at 1 o'clock. All the visitations that we have. We're replete. There are people. We are visiting. We're making the rounds. We're shaking hands. We're doing what needs to be done to keep our church family together. God bless you, saints. I want to leave you with this beautiful song, Old Time Religion. If you need some, get some. It'll do you good.
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for my mother. It was good for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old. Through the valley, when I